بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 34th hadith from Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah, in which the author said, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان رواه مسلم. Upon the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. Whoever amongst you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. And if he is not able to do so, i.e. if he is not able to change it with his hand, then with his tongue, meaning speak against it with his tongue. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. And if he's not able to do so, then with his heart, meaning hate it with his heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the weakest form of iman. رواه مسلم. So this hadith has been narrated by the virtuous companion Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه. And his name is Sa'd ibn Malik. The name of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri is Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan ibn Tha'laba al-Khudri. And he is al-Khazraji al-Ansari. So he was from the inhabitants of al-Madina. And his father, Malik ibn Sinan, was also a Sahabi. And his father, he was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And his mother, her name was Unaysa bint Abi Haritha. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he was considered to be from Sigar al-Sahaba, from the young or the children amongst the Sahaba. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into al-Madinah, he was only a young boy. He hadn't reached the age of puberty. And he was born 10 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into al-Madina, he was only 10 years old. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he grew up to be a great scholar from amongst the Sahaba, and a faqih, and also one of the Sahaba who narrated many hadith. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam seeking permission to fight in the Battle of Uhud. However, he was only 13 years old, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam refused him permission, and he partook in the Battle of Al-Khandaq or Al-Ahzab. And he narrated in total 1170 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He narrated 1170 hadith. 43 of them were agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and 16 of them are exclusive to Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, and 52 of them to only Muslim. And he died 74 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in this hadith, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever amongst you sees an evil, let him change it with his hands. And if he's not able to do so, then with his tongue. And if he's not able to do so, then hate it in his heart. And that is the weakest level of iman. So this hadith, it contains the great principle of an-nahi anil munkar, forbidding and speaking against evil, and giving a da'wah and a nasiha. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified the three levels of the people and the obligation of each level. So the asl, the default ruling when it comes to any evil, is that it has to be hated, it has to be disliked, and it has to be removed. So this is the asl. And with regards to hating it or speaking against it or changing it, then there is one level which every single person has the ability over, and then there are two levels which people differ. So with regards to hating it in the heart, then this is an obligation upon every single person, because every person has the ability to hate the evil in his heart. And as for speaking against the evil, or changing the evil, or removing the evil, then this is specific to some levels of society as opposed to others. Or we can say that when it comes to hating and changing evil, it is either fardu ayn or fardu kifaya. So fardu ayn, the individual obligation, is hating the evil in your heart. Because every person has the ability and the control over his own heart, and nobody can control the feelings which you have in your heart. So therefore, hating the evil is fardu ayn. As for changing the evil physically with your hands or speaking against it, it is fardu kifaya, meaning it is a communal obligation. That as long as a group of people are changing the evil or speaking against it with their hands or with their tongues, then it removes the sin from everybody else. And Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, in his explanation of the hadith in Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, he mentioned a number of narrations with a similar meaning. And then he said, فَدَلَّتْ هَذِهِ الْأَحَدِيثِ كُلُّهَا, that all of these ahadith, they prove wujub inkar al munkar, that it is an obligation for the evil to be rejected and to be spoken against. Bi hasab al qudrati alay, according to a person's ability. Wa amma inkaruhu bil qalb la budda minhu, as for hating the evil and rejecting it in the heart, then this is an absolute obligation. فَمَنْ لَمْ يُنْكِرْ قَلْبُهُ الْمُنْكَرْ, so whoever's heart does not hate the evil, دَلَّ عَلَى ذَهَابِ الْإِيمَانِ فِي قَلْبِهِ, then this indicates the disappearance of iman from a person's heart. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when he mentioned hating the evil in the heart, he said, وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, and this is the weakest level of iman that a person can have. That at the least, a mu'min hates the evil in his heart. So if a person doesn't even hate the evil in his heart, he said, دَلَّ عَلَى ذَهَابِ الْإِيمَانِ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ, that this shows the disappearance of iman from a person's heart. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا, whoever amongst you sees an evil. And the meaning of sees an evil, I physically sees the evil, or knows of the evil, or hears the evil, or finds evil. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ رَأَى, whoever sees it. I seize it with certainty. And there are three conditions, you could say, that have to be fulfilled when it comes to the evil. Firstly, you have to know for certainty that this action, it is evil. So you may consider something to be bad or a sin or wrong or an evil, but it is your mistake and you're ignorant. And maybe you aren't aware of a hadith or evidences which allow that action to take place. So therefore, the first condition in rebuking an evil is that you have to be sure with certainty that that action is evil and it is wrong and it goes against Islam. And it isn't something which goes back to your ignorance. The second condition is that if that action is evil and you want to try to warn the person or forbid the person who is falling into that evil, then you have to make sure that that evil is correctly attributed to this person. So there may be an action which is evil, and you think that so-and-so has done that action, but maybe the person is innocent. So firstly, you have to make sure the action is evil, and then you have to make sure that the evil which has been attributed to that person, that it is correct. This attribute to him, it is correct. And it isn't based on mere hearsay and rumor mongering. And then the third condition is that you have to make sure the action which is evil and it has occurred from a particular person, that it is evil with regards to him. Because there may be a situation in which one action is wrong for a particular person, but in the right of another person, it isn't wrong for him. So you have to be sure that the action is evil, and then you have to be sure that the evil has occurred from that person, and then you have to be sure that the evil which occurred from that person, is it wrong or is it a sin or is it an evil from his angle? And to clarify this, for example, eating and drinking in Ramadan. So eating and drinking in Ramadan, the asl is that it is wrong and it is a sin and it is evil. However, it may be wrong for a particular person, yet another person, for him, it may not be wrong. So if the person was traveling, or the person was old, or the person was very young, or he was ill and feeling sick, or he has a shar'i reason, then it isn't wrong that that action occurs from him. So therefore, before you forbid a person who is eating in Ramadan, you have to verify that are you traveling, are you ill, do you have an excuse for which you are eating and drinking. Also, for example, you find a man and he is in seclusion with a woman, or he's embracing a woman, or for example, he is holding hands with a woman. First, you have to verify that perhaps that man is related to that woman. Maybe it's his wife, or it's his sister, or his relation. And secondly, let's say that they were not related to each other, and therefore they're embracing and their seclusion and their holding of their hands, let's say it is an evil. However, is it permitted for a person to falsely accuse them of zina? No, it isn't. So, the action which they are doing is wrong. However, the level of evil which has been attributed to them is not correct. So, a zina, akramukumullah, it is only zina if the action of zina itself, it occurs. Not the mere seclusion, or a man was talking to a wife or texting a wife or in seclusion to the wife. Yes, it may be wrong and it may be evil, but it isn't at the level of that which they have been accused with. And let's say, for example, you have another person, a Muslim, and he enters into a pub. Akramakumullah. So him entering into the pub, this is wrong. But is it correct for people to accuse him of drinking alcohol just because he entered into the pub? No. So perhaps he is a taxi driver and he has entered into the pub to pick up his client. Now him entering into the pub and picking up the client, this is wrong. But can he be accused with drinking alcohol just because a person saw him entering into the pub? No, it is not correct. And also, if the issue is mahal al-ikhtilaf bayn al-ulama, bayn al-fuqaha, there's a difference in view amongst the fuqaha. So maybe you consider this issue to be wrong. However, the fuqaha have differed, and the action which that person is doing, according to him, it is not wrong. And therefore, it isn't allowed for a person to consider this to be evil. And you forbid that person from doing evil. Why? Because he is following a salaf and he is following an imam who has with him evidences who consider that issue to be correct. So for example, you find a person who is eating camel meat and then prays without making wudu. It isn't allowed for you to say that your prayer is not correct and this action which you are doing is evil. Because you, according to the madhab which you follow and the alim which you follow, you may consider the eating of camel meat, it invalidates a person's wudu. However, there are other ulama, in fact the jamhur of the fuqaha and the madhahib, who don't consider such action to break a person's wudu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hayyakum Allah. Who don't consider this action to break a person's wudu. And even if you have with you evidences, however, you cannot consider what that person is doing to be evil or that you start making inkar of this evil. At the same time, there's nothing wrong with a person trying to clarify the truth to that person and clarifying the evidences and discussing the issue with that person. And if a person says, what about the awam, the common Muslims who are following different ulama or different madhahib when it comes to the issues of fiqh, when it comes to the issues of fiqh, then should they be rebuked or not? And the answer is no. Because the awam, they are upon the madhab of the ulama, according to what the ulama have with evidences. So we're not talking about stubborn, blind following in an issue in which the evidence is clear. But we are talking about issues of ijtihad and issues of fiqh in which the fuqaha have differed. So therefore the ammi who isn't able to check and read and investigate and know the authentic from the weak and know the nasikh from the mansukh isn't able to investigate. So therefore what is his madhab? His madhab is the madhab of the mufti of the country or the alim which he goes back to. And so we cannot say regarding this person that you are doing evil and we're rebuking this person. But as I mentioned, educating and clarifying and researching the issue with this person, there's nothing wrong with this. And I remember, as a side point, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafidhullah, and he's from the scholars of hadith in Al-Madinah. And I asked him about people who wipe their hands over their faces after making a dua. And that is this action considered to be a bid'ah? And can we rebuke those people who are doing this action? And he mentioned to me, and it was outside his house, that Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he has mentioned that there are two hadith which have been narrated when it comes to wiping your face or wiping your hands over your face after dua. And both of those ahadith are weak. However, some of the ulama considered that these two weak hadith, they strengthen each other until they become hasanun li ghayrihi. And amongst the ulama who took this opinion was Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar. And he's a great scholar of hadith. He's called Al-Hafidh. So therefore, if this was his stance, and there's an angle to this stance, there's some justification to this stance. So if you now see an army and he's following this view or this statement, you cannot consider this to be evil. And you don't make inkar of this munkar. However, he said, but clarifying the truth or clarifying your view and researching the issue with that person, there's nothing wrong with this issue. And nowadays, some of the youth have understood or misunderstood that the wiping of the hands over the face after dua, this is a bid'ah. And we cannot say it is a bid'ah, because it is based on some level of evidence. And a bid'ah is something which has no evidence to it. So if you're of the view that this action is not legislated, and that opinion is weaker, then clarify your view and bring the evidences. But we don't make tabdi' based on this view. And we don't call this view to be a munkar, to be evil, which has to be rejected. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadih." That whoever amongst you sees an evil, meaning you know it is an evil, and you're sure the evil has occurred from that person, and you know it is evil with regards to that person, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ, then the obligation is that you have to change it with your hands. This is the obligation. And this is the highest level. Because by changing an evil with the hands, the evil, it is removed completely. And it disappears. And the changing of the evil with hands is of two levels. Either the evil is removed completely, and this is the best scenario, or the evil is reduced, and this is also good. So if a person has the ability and the authority to change the evil with his hand, however, he isn't able to completely remove the evil, but he can lessen the evil by 10%, or 30%, or 60%, then this is better than allowing the evil to remain. And if a person has the ability to remove the evil, does this mean it is permitted? Absolutely. No, it does not. So just because you have the ability to change the evil with your hands, this doesn't mean that it is absolutely permitted. But then you have to consider what are the possible consequences. So either the evil will be completely removed, it is an obligation. Or the evil will be reduced, it is an obligation. Or the evil will be removed, however, another evil which is equal to it in terms of its severity will come in its place. In that scenario, it is to the ijtihad of a person. That should I remove this evil, even though another similar evil may take place, or should I leave that evil because another evil which is similar to it will take place? It goes back to the ijtihad of a person. Or the fourth scenario is that by removing the evil, a greater evil will end up taking place. And in that situation, it is haram upon a person to remove that evil. And all of this enters into if you are able to do so. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, whoever is not able to do so. So what's the meaning of whoever is not able to do so? That either you don't have the ability to remove or change the evil, or you have the ability but you don't have the authority to change the evil. Or you have the ability and the authority, but by you trying to remove that evil with your hands, a greater evil will take place. And therefore, you're not allowed to change or remove that evil. And the Sharia is all based upon considering and weighing up the masalih and the mafasid. Weighing up the potential benefits of an action and the potential harms of an action. And knowing which of the two acts of goodness is a greater goodness, and which of the two acts of evils is a more severe evil. And for this reason, the fuqaha, they say that the faqih is the one, الَّذِي يَعْرِفْ الشَّرَّ الشَّرَّيْنِ, is the one who knows the evil from the two evils. And the faqih is the one الذي يعرف خير الخيرين, the one who knows the best of the two good options. So everybody knows good from evil. But who is able to weigh up which one of the two evils is more severe and less severe? And who is able to weigh up that which of the two goods is a greater good? This is the job of the faqih and the alim. And this is what the sharia is based upon. And this principle of only changing an evil if it doesn't result in a greater fitna, this is established in ayat in the Quran and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and various scenarios that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived through and decisions which he made. So for example, Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهِ. Do not insult those who they call upon besides Allah, and then they insult and swear to Allah. So it isn't allowed for a Muslim to insult the gods of different people, the false deities, because the result is that they worshippers and they followers will then insult the one who you worship, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore this is a greater evil than you not insulting their gods. And also in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, that had it not been for your people, I would have leveled the Kaaba and built it again upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But the people will say, look at Muhammad, he is destroying the Kaaba. So on one side, we have the obligation of leveling the Kaaba and rebuilding it upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam, an obligation. On the other side, we have the fitna and the chaos and the accusations towards Islam and towards the Prophet that this man is destroying the Kaaba. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he left off fulfilling the obligation because of a greater evil which will occur. And in many hadith in which a person did a great evil and the Sahaba would say, Ya Rasulullah, da'na nadrib unqahu. O Messenger of Allah, allow us to strike the neck of this person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, da'uh, leave the person alone. Hatta la yaqulu an-nas inna Muhammadan yaqtulu ashaba, such that the people do not say that Muhammad is killing his companions. So even though that person should have been rebuked and disciplined and punished, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't do so because of the greater evil which will occur. And that is that rumors will be spread all over Arabia that Islam and the Prophet Muhammad, they call to the killing of their own people. And many other examples like this. And changing it with your hands, is this something which is the right of every single person if they have the ability to do so? No. So just because you have the ability to change something with your hands, it doesn't mean you're allowed to do so. Rather, you have to have the ability and the authority. So for example, the father in the house, he has the authority to discipline his own children with his hands. And the imam in a masjid has the ability with his hands to remove and change an evil. And the ruler of a country or the qadi of a particular area, they have the right and the authority and the ability to fulfill and execute the Islamic punishments. Now you may have the ability to chop off the hands of a thief, but you don't have the authority to do so. Otherwise, the matter becomes fawda. So this level of forbidding the evil and changing the evil with the hand is for the one who has the ability, the qudra, and he has the authority, the haqq, the right to do so. And then it will not result in a greater evil. So just having the ability in of itself, this is not enough to change something with the hands. And also, for example, calling for al-jihad. So the call to al-jihad fi sabilillah isn't the right of every single person. And the organization of the armies and the divisions and the expeditions and the attacks and the military equipment and the training, this isn't the right of every single person. Otherwise, the issue becomes chaos. And the people start killing innocent people, as has been seen by the actions of the foolish around us and amongst us. So the ability and the authority, and then the greater good and the greater fitna is all considered. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. And if a person isn't able to do so, then you have to speak against it with your tongue. Isn't able to do so, meaning doesn't have the qudra, or doesn't have the haqq, or it will result in a greater evil. All three things. If any of these three things are going to go against your action, then you have to speak against it with your tongue. And when it comes to speaking against evil, or speaking regarding a person who is doing wrong, then also you have to consider the level and the status of the person who you are speaking to and the one who is doing that action. So we differentiate between a person who knows he's doing a wrong action and between a jahil, an ignorant person who doesn't know what he is doing, and a common Muslim. And we differentiate between the kafir and the mu'min. And we differentiate between the alim, the scholar, and the ordinary common Muslim. And we differentiate between an old person and a young person. And we differentiate between the Sunni and the Bid'i. And we differentiate between a person who is new to Islam and is old upon Islam. And how we speak to the Imam of the Masjid. And how we speak to a Musalli. And how we speak to the ruler of a country. And how we speak to a citizen of a country. And also the level of the innovation and the level of the evil. So no doubt the shirkiyat are more severe and they are rebuked severely. And then there are bid'at. And then the innovations are different levels and they are rebuked according to their level. And fisq and ma'asiyah and fujur and fahsha, all of these are different levels. And public sins and private sins are different levels. And a sin or a crime which affects others, or a sin which harm is restricted to a person, all of this has to be differentiated. And it is spoken against according to this level. So the summary is that when it comes to speaking against an evil or rebuking a person who is doing wrong, then we have to consider the person and the action and the status of the person. And this doesn't mean that we are accepting of the evil. So the evil has to be changed, or the evil has to be spoken against, and at the least the evil has to be hated. But the level of our speaking, how we speak and what we say and who says what, this is where the hikmah of Islam comes in. And also, this has been established as a general principle in many ahadith and ayat of the Quran. So, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa minna man lam yuqir al-kabir or yuqir kabirana wa yarham saghirana." That the one who does not respect and exalt the elder and does not show mercy towards the young is not from us. Notice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned these two groups of people and he differentiated what each one of them deserves. So the old deserves respect and the young deserves mercy and love. And therefore, when you speak to an adult, then you speak to them as an adult with respect. And when you speak to a child, then you speak from the angle of mercy and compassion. And also, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Anzilun nasa manazilahum," that give each person their rank. Each person is treated according to the rank which they have. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was harsh against Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was one of the ulama from amongst the Sahaba. And yet when it came to the A'rabi, the Bedouin, who urinated in the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was gentle with him. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he lengthened the salah and he recited more of the Quran. And yet the Prophet said to him, "Afattanun anta ya Mu'adh? Are you a fattan, O Mu'adh?" And the A'rabi, he urinated in the masjid. He spoiled the sanctity of the masjid. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to the companions, "Da'uh, leave him alone." And the Prophet was gentle with him. So consider, this action is lengthening the salah and lengthening the qira'ah and the tilawa. And he's Mu'adh. And yet the Prophet was severe in his inkar. And this action is urinating in the masjid. And it occurs from an A'rabi. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is accepting and he is gentle. So this is a principle in our Sharia. And also, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would boycott certain people and others he would not boycott. And perhaps the one who is better and more virtuous and closer to him, he would boycott. And the one who is further away and less virtuous, he would keep relations with that person. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he boycotted Ka'b ibn Malik and his two companions for 50 days and 50 nights when they delayed going to the battle. And yet at the same time, the munafiqun, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not boycott them. And they would pray in al-Masjid al-Nabawi. And he would keep relations with them and interact with them. As for the action of some of the youth today, in which they think that the asl is boycotting, and anybody and everybody who does any wrong is boycotted, then this isn't the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we can see from these ahadith. And those people who think that every evil or every person who does evil and every person who does an innovation is treated harshly, then this isn't the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they would consider the person who is doing it and the amount that that person knows and the type of evil. And like I said, Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and he's a virtuous companion, yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam boycotted him. And the munafiqun, and they are munafiqun, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would sometimes keep them close. And for this reason, this manhaj of always being harsh and always boycotting, this only leads to chaos. And the result of it is that the people of this manhaj, within themselves, they then start boycotting each other. And then they have problems with each other, because they are not following the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also how you address a person. So the teacher is addressed differently to the student. And the father and the mother are addressed differently to the children. And the head of the school, the headmaster, is addressed differently to then other staff members, and so on and so forth. So a person should have come along and think that I am courageous and I stand for the truth because I treat everybody the same. So I am going to address the teacher like I address the youngest student, and I'm going to speak to the sheikh like I speak to the jahil, and I'm going to speak to the ra'isul qabila or the hakim of a country like I speak to every common person upon the street, like I speak to a criminal. And this is bravery and this is equality. No, Islam doesn't call to this. And for this reason, it isn't correct for a person to call his father by his first name, Ya Fulan, or call his teacher by his first name, or speak to the imam like he speaks to his friend. Anzilun nas manazilahum. Rather, every person is addressed according to their status. And this, which has in reality been picked up from the West, in that the father or the teacher or the imam or personal authorities address like any other normal person, this is also su'al adab, bad manners and bad etiquettes. And it isn't from our Islam and it isn't from our Muslim culture. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِلِسَانِهِ, then change it with your tongue, meaning speak against it with your tongue. As for the ruler of the Muslims, a Muslim ruler who is corrupt, or he's tyrannical, or he oppresses, then does this hadith apply to him? It isn't correct for general ahadith to be used to rebel against the Muslim rulers and to speak against the Muslim rulers on the manabir and in public and ignore the other hadith which have been mentioned. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, and whoever is not able to speak against the evil, or the one who does the evil. Not able to speak against means doesn't have the right or the authority and the ability, or it will result in a greater evil. So calling for rebellions or making a takfir and ignoring all of those ahadith which are mutawatira, which advises with obedience, as-sam' wa ta'a, and privately advising, and all of those narrations which have come, they take precedence when it comes to the Amir. For example, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ كَلِمَةُ عَدْلٍ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ, that the best jihad is a word of justice, and in a narration, kalimatu haqqin, a truthful word, inda al-imam al-ja'ir, in front of or with a ruler who is oppressing. In front of. Not that a person causes to rebellions and he's 1,000 miles away or on the internet. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Sayyidu shuhada Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, that the chief of the martyrs is Hamza, the son of Abdul Muttalib. And then he said, وَرَجُلٌ قَامَ إِلَىٰ إِمَامٍ جَائِرٍ فَأَمَرَهُ وَنَهَاهُ فَقَتَلَهُ, and a person who goes and stands to an oppressful ruler, meaning in front of the ruler, and he orders him and he forbids him, and then that ruler kills him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَنْصَحَ لِذِي سُلْطَانٍ فَلَا يُبْدِهِ عَلَانِيَةً, that whoever wants to give a nasiha to a person of authority, then do not do so in public. وَلَكِنْ يَأْخُذْ بِيَدِهِ, but take him by his hand. فَيَخْلُو بِهِ, and then go in seclusion with him. فَإِنْ قَبِلَ مِنْهُ فَذَاكَ, and if he accepts this private nasiha from you, then so be it. وَإِلَّا كَانَ قَدْ أَدَّمْ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ, otherwise you have fulfilled the responsibility which is upon you. And this hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, وَصَحَّهَهُ الْأَلْبَانِي. And Sa'id ibn Jubair, he said, قُلْتُ لِبْنِ عَبَّاسٍ أَمُرُ السُلْطَانِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَنْهَاهُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, should I order the ruler with good and forbid him with evil? Ibn Abbas replied, إِنْ خِفْتَ أَنْ يَقْتُلَكَ فَلَا, if you think that he is going to kill you, then do not do so. Sa'id ibn Jubair said, ثُمَّ عُدْتُ, and then I repeated the question to him. فَقَالَ لِي مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ, so then he gave the same answer to me, that if he is going to kill you, then do not do so. ثُمَّ عُدْتُ, and then I answered him, and then I asked him the same question, and then he gave me the same answer. And then he said, إِن كُنْتَ لَا بُدَّ فَاعِلًا فَفِيمَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ, if you are going to go ahead and you are going to forbid him from the evil, then between you and between him. Meaning it is done in seclusion. In seclusion, i.e. through writing or through the channels which are permitted, or through going to the counselors or the various levels of representation and the laws which exist, or in seclusion in front of that person. And Tawus narrated that a man came to Ibn Abbas and he said, أَلَا أَقُومُ إِلَى هَذَا السُلْطَانِ فَآمُرُهُ وَأَنْهَا, should I not stand to this ruler and order him and forbid him? And Ibn Abbas replied, La takun lahu fitna. Do not be a source of fitna. The man said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ أَمَرَنِي بِمَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. What if he orders me with disobedience to Allah? Ibn Abbas said, ذَلِكَ الَّذِي تُرِيدُ. Is that the question which you are asking? فَكُنْ حِينَئِذٍ رَجُلًا. Then in that situation be a man. Meaning, if the ruler orders you with evil, then be a man and do not obey him. In that instance, you are allowed to disobey him. As for open rebellion and speaking against the rulers, then this goes against the other hadith which have been mentioned. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَضِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. And if you're not able to do so, meaning you don't have the ability, or you don't have the authority, or it is going to lead to a greater evil, then you have to hate the evil in your heart. He said, وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And this is the weakest form of iman. And this is the level which every single person has the ability to do so. That at the least, you have to hate the evil with your heart. And Ibn Rajab, he mentions a number of narrations. He said, سَمِعَ إِبْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَجُلًا يَقُولُ. That Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he heard a man saying, هَلَكَ مَنْ لَمْ يَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَمْ يَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That the one who does not order with goodness and forbid the evil is destroyed. Ibn Mas'ud said, هَلَكَ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ بِقَلْبِهِ الْمَعْرُوفُ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That rather, the one who is destroyed is the one who doesn't recognize the evil and the goodness in his heart. Meaning it isn't about changing it with your hands or speaking against it with your tongue, but it is at least hating it in your heart. So if you don't hate the evil with your heart, then that person is destroyed. As for changing it or speaking against it, there are conditions and levels and abilities and authorities as we have mentioned. And Ibn Mas'ud said, يُوشِكُ مَنْ عَاشَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَرَى مُنْكَرًا. That perhaps a time will come in which a person will see evil. لَا يَسَطِيعُ لَهُ غَيْرَ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ أَنَّهُ لَهُ كَارِهُ. And that person will not have the ability except that Allah knows that he hates it in his heart. Meaning there will come a time in which there is evil around you and neither are you able to change it with your hands nor are you able to speak against it with your tongue. But the least is that Allah knows that you hate the evil. And in the Sunan of Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا عُمِلَتِ الْخَطِيئَةُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That if the evil and the sinning happens upon the earth, كَانَ مَنْ شَهِدَهَا وَكَرِهَهَا كَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا. The one who sees the evil and witnesses the evil, but he hates the evil in his heart, is as if that person did not see the evil in the first place. وَكَانَ مَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا فَرَضِيَهَا كَمَنْ شَهِدَهَا. And as for the person who didn't witness the evil, but he's pleased with the evil in his heart, then it's as if he was witness to the evil and part of the evil. So if there's evil and you see it and you witness it, but you hate it in your heart, then with Allah, you are like a person who was never there in the first place. And a person who wasn't there, but he heard of the evil, and then in his heart he's accepting of the evil and pleased with the evil, then with Allah, this person is like the one who's there, and he witnessed it, and he accepted the evil. Ibn Rajab said, فَتَبَيَّنَ بِهَذَا أَنَّ الْإِنْكَارَ بِالْقَلْبِ فَرْضٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. That these narrations show that hating the evil in your heart, this is the obligation upon every single Muslim. وَفِي كُلِّ حَالٍ. And in every single situation and scenario. وَأَمَّا الْإِنْكَارُ بِالْيَدِّ وَاللِّسَانِ. As for changing the evil with your hands and upon your tongue, فَبِحَسَبِ الْقُدْرَةِ. Then according to a person's ability. So from the benefits of this hadith is that the responsibility of changing the evil is upon the ummah. And if somebody says to you, who gave you the job to speak against this evil? You say, the Prophet ﷺ gave me the right and the responsibility. Because the Prophet said, man ra'a minkum, anybody amongst the Muslims who sees it, and then the other conditions are fulfilled, then the evil has to be changed at the three levels. From the benefits of this hadith is that there's no difficulty in Islam, because Islam only obligates according to the ability of a person. Because the Prophet said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, whoever is not able to do so, then do not do so. And also this is a general principle in the Quran. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, have taqwa of Allah as much as you are able to do so, as much ability that you have. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, and Allah does not make a person responsible except according to that which he is able to do so. And the Prophet said, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, now whatever I order you with, fulfill it according to the level of your ability and the other evidences which occur. And also that the minimum obligation which is upon a Muslim is to hate the evil with his hands. And also that the fear of the blame of the people, this isn't an excuse to not speak against an evil. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, that whoever does not have the ability to speak against an evil, a person cannot say, I didn't speak against the evil because the people would have said something about me, or because the people would have mocked me. No, this doesn't enter into ability. Ability means you don't have the authority to do so, or you don't have the knowledge to do so, or if you do so, it's going to result in a severe danger, real danger against you, or a greater harm. As for the people will boycott me, or abandon me, or they will not be friends with me, or they will joke about me, then this does not enter into ability. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, the narrator of this hadith, he mentions that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stood in front of the people khatiban, and he gave a sermon to the people. And then he said, Allah, la yamna'anna rajulan haybatun nas an yaqula bihaqqin idha alimahu. He said, verily, a person should not be prevented from speaking the truth because of the fear of the people, if he knows the truth. Wa baka Abu Sa'id. And then Abu Sa'id, he wept and he cried. And he said, قَدْ وَاللَّهِ رَأَيْنَا أَشْيَاءَ فَهِبْنَا. He said, by Allah, we saw evil, but فَهِبْنَا, we were scared of the authority of the people, so we remained silent over that matter. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and from the lata'if, also from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, لَا يَحْقِرْ أَحَدُكُمْ نَفْسَهُ, that no person should belittle his own self. قَالَ النَّاسِ, the people said, Ya Rasulullah, وَكَيْفَ يَحْقِرُ أَحَدُنَا نَفْسَهُ, O Messenger of Allah, and how does a person belittle his own self? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يَرَى أَمْرَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فِيهِ مَقَالٌ, that a person sees the command of Allah and he should say something. ثُمَّ لَا يَقُولُ, and then he doesn't say something when he should have said something. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and then Allah will say to that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَقُولَ فِيَّ كَذَا وَكَذَا, what stopped you and prevented you from saying so and so for my right? Why didn't you stick up for Islam? Why didn't you protect the right of Allah subhanah? فَيَقُولْ خَشِيتُ النَّاسِ, that person will say, I was scared of the people, I was fearful of the blame of the people. And then Allah will say to him on Yawm al-Qiyamah, إِيَّايَ كُنْتَ أَحَقَّ أَن تَخْشَى, that I have more right over you that you should fear me, over the fear and the reproach of the people. And therefore, just because people will boycott you, or abandon you, or leave you, this isn't enough of an excuse to not speak against the evil. But hikmah and knowing the rights of the people and the levels of the people, and whether your speech is most likely to change the evil or not, or forbidding the evil going through somebody else. So you may see an evil and you may have the ability to speak against the evil, but maybe your speech will not be accepted. But if you spoke to your father, or you spoke to the imam or person of authority, and they spoke against the evil, then the evil will be changed. So then you go through another avenue. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.